Well, good evening again, and nice to be with you. I feel a little bit close to BC being in this room because the boards that you see running up our wall behind us are all BC cedar. And some people have advised that in these modern days, you should paint them. Well, you can see that they're not. Anyway, it's nice to be with you again. And I was reminded today as well when the Truth and Tidings came in the mail that not everybody sees the verses that I'm going to look at tonight the same way I do. And I just hope that my thoughts and meditations on them will be a help to you, as the previous messages, I trust, also have been. Now, as we know, faith is not a freestanding thing. Not at all. It is in and it is upon God who gives substance to his word. In essence, faith is a most simple thing. I'm going to share my screen now and trust that some of these thoughts as presented will be visible and clear as we follow through. Hopefully I'll even remember when to move them and when not to move them. That's one of my challenges when it comes to multitasking. Women are much better at that kind of thing than I find myself to be. So we've been talking about the heroes of faith, and this is the fourth week that we've been looking at it. And tonight I want to look from Hebrews 11, 32 down to verse 40. So faith is a most simple thing. And I think that while we know that, in fact, sometimes we find it seeming like the very hardest thing. And I'm so thankful that to those who venture forth in faith towards God, God gives substance to his word. You might remember the story of Spurgeon when he attended that meeting that night and the night of his conversion, that the message was basically, look, look. And he heard the message, and apparently the preacher was a little limited, and he repeated the message over and over again. And finally, as only a old-time Methodist might have preached it in the loudest voices possible, he said, young man, look, and you'll be saved. And this was Spurgeon's comment on it. I actually have it in front of me because I didn't want to add to it or take away from it. When the preacher said, young man, look to Jesus Christ, his response was, I did look. Faith is the most simple thing, and yet to many, it may seem so difficult. So in review, we've been speaking about last week how faith is not turned aside by earthly incentives, and that it does come down to the choices that we make. And it actually indicates to us that faith has a higher gold standard. And that's a very precious thing to the believer who sees its value. So we want to consider those things as we proceed a little bit this evening and move on from that also. Let's observe those eight ways then that faith manifests itself. I won't just go through them all, but we need to ask ourselves, when it comes to being persuaded by earthly incentives, that we also know what it is to refuse what is merely a material advantage that might turn us aside from what God wants us to be for him. And we must ask ourselves, which kingdom is the most important to you and to me? When you come down to where it's speaking about the choices, we know that we need to make choices about the pleasures of sin, as did Moses. He believed that there was a better recompense for God's people, the ones who own him as sovereign. He made choices in that direction because he believed that he must make his choices for God. So as I've been speaking a little bit about faith has a higher gold standard, we know that it must be evaluated by the eternal coin, by the eternal standards. And Moses, again, was an example to us of that kind of faith as well. And then when you come down to verse 27, where we had been, why faith sometimes causes us to literally walk away and to keep on focusing on the invisible that so many around us have no consciousness of at times, it seems. But the God who is unseen is more real than any other. And I'm so thankful for the eyes of understanding God gives us so that we know we can inclined towards walking away from what is merely something that is transient. And when you come to verse 28, where we looked at, faith brings us to rely on God alone. And it follows God's instructions for salvation in the case of Moses once again. And in verse 29, faith gives us the victory march. And for Israel as a people to step out as God led them, faith gave them a march of victory. In verse 30, of course, we have the idea where faith brings down strongholds and where seemingly impossible obstacles were removed in the case of Joshua and God's people there. In verse 31, we spoke about how faith imparts salvation and a legacy that was worth having. Rahab, who though her lifestyle had been blatantly sinful, she found hope for herself in her God. No matter how wayward and sinful souls may be even today, God still extends his grace to the one who will respond in faith. And I find that a tremendous encouragement as I think of how little response oftentimes there is to the gospel as is declared. Yet God still extends his grace towards those who will hear his call and respond to him. I want to read then from Hebrews 11 and verse 32 and down to chapter 12 and verse 3. So it says in verse 32, what more shall I say, or what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire. That's the idea, extinguished it completely. Escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Chapter 12 and verse 1 Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We trust that God will bless his precious word to every heart. I want you to notice in this new section to note these things. First of all, in verse 32, the stories that could have been told. The writer says, what more shall I say? Time would fail. There's just so very, very much more. On the one hand, it indicates that he has said enough to convince us all of faith's reality. And on the other, he certainly hadn't said all that he could. When you come to verses 36 and 37, there we see the sufferings that they endured. The sufferings that they endured. Unbelievable cruelty. And in verse 38, just putting the touchstone on some of this, the significance of God's assessment. I just am thrilled at those words, of whom the world was not worthy. And when you come down a little further, you can see the source of their strength. The source of their strength, where their strength lie. And in verse 40, I notice the something better that's for all believers. Another look at those passages tells us that faith triumphs. That's verse 33. And faith imparts an honor that the world can never imagine in verse 38. And then you can see how faith sometimes must wait. I know we don't like to wait, but it's true of them as it is of us. Faith did not receive what was promised immediately, but they looked off to see it all the same. Then when you come down to verse 40, here faith still believes God. Did they really take hold of what was eternal? Then it was by realizing that God will never, never, never forsake his word. And what he has promised, he will perform. Just thinking of chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 for a moment. God had witnessed about them all through chapter 11. But in chapter 12, they are spoken of as those whose lives bear witness to us. And that's one of the reasons that we have found Hebrews 11 so attractive, because we can see glimpses of that faith that was evident in them. And here, not the idea so much as watchers, but rather the idea that they are testifying to us. They're right there, it seems, before us in chapter 11 to tell us. So basically, the question becomes, are we running free this race that we're to pursue? Let us run as they did, laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Verse 3 of chapter 12 reminds us of the clearest guide or the beacon for faith. He says, consider him. So let's look at those a little more in depth, and I trust that even though my meditations on this passage might be different than your own, that it will at least give a little fuel for thought. So the stories that were told, these are stories where faith has triumphed. We look at Gideon. That's, of course, back from Judges 5, 6, and 7. And we look at the fragility of his faith, it seemed at first, and yet he was stepping forward to do something for God's people. We have Barak in Judges 4. And Deborah seemed to be the moving force, and Barak seemed uninclined to just take a stand, but Barak responded to her God-given call, and he also rose up in faith. The victory song in Judges 5 scarcely mentions Barak, though it seems he composed it along with Deborah, almost like an unsung hero. But he's mentioned here. Samson, Judges 16, we find him presented to us, but at times you wonder where faith ever was seen. And yet there are glimpses if we look for them. And of Jephthah in Judges 11 and 12. And in 1 Samuel, we learn about him. And it's interesting to notice that while these men are spoken of, you have the comment made, and David also. And Samuel and the prophets. And as the writer mentions these, he links them with such glorious positives. It tells us in verse 33, they subdued kingdoms, both the kings and the kingdoms subdued by hard conflict. And sometimes the wrestling is difficult for us today as well. The stories, oh, the stories of faith to inspire us. God gives us at least inklings of it. He tells us that the stories are there if we were able to delve into them. And then it tells us of them that they wrought righteousness. They did the right thing, the things that God approves of. It reminds us, too, that they obtained promises. A promise from God is a most wonderful thing. And it is all of divine grace. We're reminded in 2 Peter 1 of the great and precious promises. And you and I can take hold of them ourselves and enjoy not only their truth, but their blessing. What was it the poet said? God has not promised. Sky is always blue. Flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised. Sun without rain. Joy without sorrow. Or peace without pain. God hath not promised. We shall not know. Toil and temptation. Trouble and woe. He has not told us, we shall not bear many a burden, many a care, but God has promised. God has promised strength for the day, rest for the laborer, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love. God's promises. It tells us also that they stopped the mouths of lions. And who comes to mind when we think of that? Daniel, of course. But of course, there was also Samson. And there was David. And then there was Benaiah in 1 Chronicles 11, who faced a very difficult thing in a difficult place. Had a difficult time. And thank God he was able to overcome the challenge he was faced with. In verse 34, we're reminded that these stories include those who quenched fire. And to our minds, of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were able to say so nobly, so justifiably, our God is able. But know this, we will not bow. Where is that courage in my life? Sad to say, it might be hidden under many fears at times. But thank God for moments when we rise up in confidence before God and say, I believe, God, that it shall be even as it was told me. It says that they escaped the sword. That is, they literally ran away. And maybe you're saying, that's what you call victory? Well, it's not what I call victory, but it's what God called victory. Really? You see, sometimes we need to run. Sometimes it's the very best thing to do. They, thank God, some of them, but not all, escaped the sword. It says that they were valiant in fight and in body or mind. That is, there was strength of soul that exhibited excellence. It tells us that they overwhelmed armies. My, what a day that would have been. And that the dead were raised. And of course, they were only to die again after the fullness of their life. But I think overall, as I look at these stories, I see it wasn't just one test for all, but a variety of ways. Faith was tested and proved as they lived and as they were challenged. We might easily think about how faith was revealed in these folks, but we can't think of these same people without being reminded of some flaw in their life, or some failure, or some foolishness on their part. And we would have to admit that there's an awful lot of things about them that might also resemble the things about us. Notice, none of them accomplished all these things that are mentioned as their triumphs are told. But without faith, they would have failed everything. Obviously, the writer, and even more obviously, God, could see things in their lives that are far more difficult for us to discern. In some cases, even the stories we know about them do not readily reveal what faith and what God is referring to as their faith. In other cases, we don't even know the stories. Yet, it's clear that God was not only very keenly interested in their faith, but God observed it, even when it was not discernible by others. If the stories of our lives were written, what would be written? Would they speak well of our faith? Sometimes it would seem that only God really knows what's in my heart towards him. Only God can say, there it is. That's what counts with me. When you come to verse 39, it says, these all. How did they come to our attention? What noteworthy element is pointed out? It tells us they were commended by their faith, that these all, verse 13, died in faith. So the stories are many and varied and lovely when we know some of the details, and they certainly cause us to consider what might not have been told, but something that will be revealed in a coming day yet. Notice, secondly, the sufferings that they endured. Did you see this list? Does this sound like triumph to you? Some suffered so much hardship and loss, but ultimately saw deliverance, or they saw compensation for their faith. Can't you hear them? Do you hear them singing? It will be worth it all. I think I can. Others suffered, but there was no deliverance for them. We all want and perhaps have experienced the former. However, we may experience the latter. And what shall we say to the one who ordains the various things that come our way in life? That hymn I just treated you to a few words of, I'm going to read some of it just now. Sometimes the day seems long and our trials are hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. At times, the sky seems dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care as we let Jesus solve our problems and go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse, just one. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. We might take note, though, that God may bring you and I into such trials that would even cause us to question his love towards us. I know believers, and I'm absolutely stunned at times when I see the things that they pass through, and seemingly it comes one thing after another. It may rock the very foundations of your soul. And what we see very plainly here is that on one hand, there were those who saw glorious deliverance. There were others. There were others who suffered captivity and torture and death. But faith was victorious under every and all circumstance. I want you to think with me of the significance of God's assessment. Verses 38 and 39 bring this to mind. That is God's estimate of things. The world was not worthy. How sad to think that this kind of precious, lasting worth was totally unrecognized or appreciated by a world that was so degraded. They couldn't see the beauty of their lives. You know, some of those lives that you have observed and admired and been affected by, and you see such delight in them, and they don't see it at all. We too often go unrecognized. And let's make sure that the reality of our faith shows through when we're able to make it happen, letting nothing tarnish or sap its strength. Let's make sure that we encourage the faith of others. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, then, Lord, then shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe to God's sustaining strength as I journey through this wilderness way. I want you to think too of the source of their strength. It was God. God alone. They had gotten a good, clear view of their God. And they didn't have nearly as much information. They certainly didn't have all the value of the scriptures that we do, but they had gotten a good, clear view of their God. And because of it, they knew they could trust him, come what may. I wonder how much that's demonstrated in my life today, that I believe I can trust him. Remember Paul on the ship as the sails were ripped from the masts and as the ship had been unburdened and still there was no relief. And he told the people, he says, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And they could trust him even when they had to walk alone. And even when their prayers were not answered immediately, we sing that hymn and it's beautiful. Simply trusting. Simply trusting every day. Trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus. That is all. That's really where it is. I want you to think of the something better, verse 40. That something better, he tells us, is for all believers. That is that God has plans, and his plan is to receive all his own to a place near to his side. And he will reward what was really for him. Our faith might have cost us dearly here on earth, but the compensation is truly out of this world. And eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them to us. And while we do not taste all the sweetness of the flowers of God's promises, yet we know what is ahead, the something that's so much better. Then in that day, the scripture says, shall every man have praise of God? And just to hear him say it will be a thrill to endure for all the ages. Can you anticipate that day when he says, well done? So in this latter part of the chapter, we've come to consider the stories and the suffering and how faith subdues the enemy and faith honors that the world cannot imagine. And faith still continues to believe God, even if it sometimes must wait. And from the beginning until today, God is looking for faith in his own. When it comes to the stories, we've tried to speak of some of them. And we've reminded ourselves that it may not be an easy path, there may well be suffering. But oh, the significance. That significance to God of what our faith means. God is still today looking for this amongst his people. He's looking for faith in his own, and he is pleased to find it there. I think too of the source of their strength must become the source of our strength and the something better that God has planned for us all. I trust that these meditations, these thoughts have thrilled your heart as they have at times mine. And though we fail to really put our grasp firmly around some of it, I hope it's inspired all of us to realize that God's recognition of the faith of his own is something precious that will be precious forever. And we have the privilege just now of manifesting that reality in our lives, in our testimonies, in our families, in our homes, in our marriages. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I trust God will bless his word.